As fun as it is to dress up as a drag queen or a Disney princess, all that costuming can get pretty pricey. Today, video blogger Tamara Lynn Chambers joins us to talk about her latest Princess in Everyday Life project, where she's attempting to doll up every day of the week in everyday princess attire. Also joining us is comedian Cody Melcher, Tamara's bestie to Kiki on all the work cosplayers put into putting together their costumes. Plus, Prince Harry and Meghan Markle's wedding is boosting the British economy to the tune of $1.4 billion. And how will Marvel wrap up the Infinity War sequel? What will be the ultimate fate of Iron Man and Captain America? I'm Fausto Fernos, and this is Feast of Fun. Feast of Fun is made possible because of the support of fierce, fabulous people like you. Become a member and listen to 14 years of amazing podcasts at feastoffun.com/plus. Or put a tip in our tip jar and make a one-time donation at feastoffun.com/donate. Thank you for your support. Our guest today is currently dressing up every day of the week as a princess. Ariel, Snow White, Belle, Aurora, Jasmine, Cinderella, and even Meg from Hercules are all being put into everyday scenarios in the video series by comedian Tamara Lynn Chambers.
Hello.
Welcome to Feast of Fun, Tamara.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
And also joining us is the brilliant Cody Melcher.
Hello.
Host of Tomefoolery, a good podcast about bad books.
Great podcast about awful books.
There you go.
Don't get carried away.
Yeah, look, I got to sell it, you know?
Books are really truly awful.
Oh, yeah. The most recent episode that's out right now is Milo Yiannopoulos' book, that whole controversy where the publisher dropped it. He re-released it, but we got the court document version that has the editor's notes. So
Because he doesn't have enough publicity as it is.
Cover. Right. Although, did you see recently when he went with Alex Jones to the Google headquarters in Austin, and they came in to try to take pictures of all the videos that they have going on in the lobby, and they're trying to just be jerks and troll Google, and the employee that kicked them out didn't recognize Milo. He was like, yeah, Alex Jones and some guy were here, and they were like, oh, that's Milo, and he's like, oh.
Yeah, that's kind of like Mariah Carey, I don't know her.
He had no idea who Milo Yiannopoulos was. It was great.
Yeah,
how did you guys come together, the two of you guys, because you're both longtime friends.
Yeah, so we've known each other going on 7 years now. Mm-hmm. We met in an improv class at the Annoyance in Chicago.
Like all Chicago stories begin, we met in an improv class.
And yeah, that's a name for time. Improv classes is Annoyance.
Especially if I'm there.
Yeah. I'm going to do things that don't necessarily have to be funny. Like this podcast.
All of my characters were just based on slightly different British accents. So
really?
Posh or less posh. It was, yeah. Because I grew up on British comedy, so my improv ended up actually being very British, and not even just an accent, because I did improv for 5 years, and I was always told by teachers that most American improvisers do situational, and I always would do status play, which is a very British comedy thing. So I would always come in as above people or subservient to people, and that was always my initiation in improv scenes, and that's because of growing up on BBC British comedy.
So you'd be like, excuse me, governor, do you mind me?
I would come in and be like a server or a butler.
I want to hear your British accent.
Do it. Okay, wait.
Let's all talk with the British accent.
I have too many British fans for this.
British people hate it when you do a British accent.
I know.
Accent.
Oh, I know.
Let's hear it. Alienate half of the audience right now.
All right, I'll try to just do it.
Hello, this is my British accent. This is a little bit more of a reserved kind of just hanging out. How are you all doing tonight? It's more of a received pronunciation to some extent, a little bit of a London in there. kind of...
Yes, of course.
Yes.
You know, cosplay is all about sexuality. It's about being something you get turned on by.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I get turned on by British people, I'll tell you that much.
Who doesn't, honestly?
British people.
And Tamara, like, I feel like, because I looked at your YouTube channel, it feels like the whole cosplay thing for you is really like some softcore porn thing going on.
Yeah, a little bit. It's like, 100%. Let's talk about that. I'm glad you asked.
This thing kind of gets you turned on, right?
Softcore porn, I'm glad you asked.
Well, I mean, they're characters that you, like, idolize and love, and so you feel badass as them, and then you put, like, some cleavage in there, and you're like, all right, now we're really working for it.
And you like the attention you get. And
it's fun, yeah. Oh, for sure.
You go to a lot of, like, comic book conventions. You're involved with C2E2 here in Chicago. And,
right.
And regular, and sort of your school of drag is drag on a dime. It's trying to look like $1 million with $1 in your pocket.
I've always said Tamara's a nasty queen. Just real dirty, down and dirty.
My mom says it all the time. You nasty queen. I have a series called $20 Cosplay, where I put together something, obviously, for $20.
Ooh.
And right now I'm doing a series where I do, like, very casual cosplay every day as a Disney princess. I'm going to do, like, a Marvel week and, like, a Star Wars week. And just, like, very simple. I'm kind of new to the game still, so I'm still trying to get into it. But, yeah, it's super fun. I love the attention.
So it's not like you're taking them, you know, grocery shopping once they dress up as princesses? Or the everyday aspect is just the cost?
Yeah, well, the everyday aspect is, like, I'm aiming to go, like, if I'm walking down the street as Cinderella, I want someone to, like, pass me and be like... Was that Cinderella?
Or is she just nuts?
Just hinting at it.
Yeah, you want
exactly.
You want hints of Cinderella.
Yeah.
Like a soupçon of Cinderella.
I don't want
a,
like, ball gown down Broadway.
You want, like, a Niles coffee order on Frasier of Cinderella, or it's, like, just a hint of vanilla, you know?
Yeah. So you're wanting to bring kind of the Disney princess into your everyday life.
Well, and honestly...
To make yourself feel more glamorous? Or?
I always feel glamorous.
I mean, you're all dressed up really nicely today. You didn't have
you.
To.
Thank you.
It is radio. So we'll take a picture so people can see how nice she
looks. I'm just wearing a Vincent Price t-shirt. That's all I've got to the table.
Well, you have wonderful pink hair.
Thank you, but that came with me. I didn't put that on today.
I saw on your social media, I was like, I think that pink... People are like, that's Photoshop. I'm like, no. That's Cody.
It took 6 hours to do. I went to a queer salon in L.A., and the guy who did it has an art theory degree and, like, mixes his own colors. And he's like, you're going to have to cut it out before it fades out. And this is, like, over a month old, and it's still pretty bright pink.
It is.
Did you see, we went to the Chicago History Museum and we saw there's an exhibition on the stock exchange.
Oh, yeah.
And they're all the weird jackets that stockbrokers used to wear the turn of the century. And I was like, Cody Melcher is a time traveler.
Yeah, you texted me because I was like, that actually looks like a jacket I do actually currently own. Yeah.
That's
freaky. The last time I went to the Chicago History Museum, I saw there were a couple of historical mistakes that I had a problem with. But
you're like, excuse me.
I don't know if I told you about that.
You put a post-it note on
when I did that tour of the American Revolution in Virginia. I corrected a historical landmark. They had an item in one
They escorted you out.
They had in the battle... in the Battle of Brandywine, one of the houses, they had an object in the wrong room. Like, it would not have been in that room.
You're kind of like a flat earther at an astronomy museum.
No, I'm just a big nerd that no one likes. And then I gave an impromptu lecture about Quakers during the American Revolution to a family outside because they asked the tour guide and he didn't know anything about Quakers. And I was like, well, if you guys want to know, I'll tell you. And I gave a 30-minute lecture about Quakers in the American Revolution.
Rhode Island.
I miss you so much, Cody.
You're a people person. why don't you just work as a tour guide somewhere?
I actually was considering it for a bit there.
I actually did when I was
having a nervous breakdown in L.A. after I moved and my career was crumbling around me. I did actually look up what it takes to be a national park ranger.
Where would you, like, if you could, you know, I have a friend who's a national forest park ranger,
mm-hmm.
not like in Yellowstone or, you know, out in the woods, in the wilderness. Yeah. Guess what his little plot of land that he's responsible for?
What?
Oh, no.
The Stonewall Inn in New York City.
Oh, that's awesome!
That is kind of cool.
That is great. I got blackout drunk there once. That is a great place.
That is, if you're going to be a park ranger, that is the best job ever.
Honestly.
And he's a former drag queen, Lavelle.
Oh, wow, that's great.
Lavelle Harris.
That's pretty lucky, too. Yeah.
That is lucky.
An elderly woman who was friends with Matthew Broderick bought me and a guy from Montana drinks all night because she was trying to hook us up, and we got blackout drunk. That's my Stonewall story. No, we kind of fooled around a little bit. Yeah.
Too drunk.
Yeah.
I wish people paid me money to have sex with somebody else. Oh, wait, that's called porn.
She literally went on the dance floor and got him and brought him over and made him sit down and talk to me because I had mentioned that I thought he was cute. And she's like, you think he's cute? Oh, we'll get him. And I was like, wow, you're like the best pimp.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, if you go to the Stonewall, you know, in the bar, like, you kind of have to have sex with somebody if they, you know what I'm saying? Like, there's a little bit of pressure. Like, you don't want to be rude to the ancestors who...
Right. Yeah, you have to pay homage. We made out on the dance floor, but we went back to our separate room. We couldn't really do a one-night stand because both of us had canes at the time, so the standing part wasn't good. But,
why did you have a cane?
I have a cane sometimes. I have a bad hip.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Well, I hope you're feeling better.
Oh, no, like, I have a, just, like...
continuously.
Yes, thank you. Yeah, I just have a problem.
Tamara, you don't have any camera. They told me because I mispronounced your name earlier.
Yeah,
Tamara.
Right, everyone does.
Which is the African American
Tamara. I wish
Tia Tamara Mowry.
Right, yeah. Right, exactly.
Thanks, girls.
So Taj Mowry, tell us.
But so you dressing up as a princess, like, this is kind of like a lifetime thing for you.
Well, it's honestly just an excuse to do it, and I just need more content on my YouTube channel.
But the funny thing about it is that you actually didn't grow up watching a lot of these Disney movies. Your family was kind of like the Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt's family. They kept you in a basement.
I'm actually her sister. Yeah, we like are
you,
related.
You were really, for real, you were isolated.
We just didn't, I don't know why. I grew up in a really small town, and we just didn't watch movies. It wasn't like we weren't allowed to. It just wasn't, I don't know, we just didn't really do it.
Tamara, though, could you tell the audience what movie you all did watch a lot, though?
We watched a lot of Secondhand Lions.
Yeah, you did.
Secondhand Lions? What is that?
It's like a weird...
It's the movie with the two elderly men and Haley Joel Osment, right?
Yeah.
Who are the men again?
It's lovely.
I'm Googling this now.
I forget who the men are. It's not
Michael Caine.
Michael Caine, I remember.
Them.
And then who's the other one?
I don't know people's names.
Anthony Hopkins?
No.
Yeah.
So as a pop culture writer, you absolutely know nothing about popular culture.
For sure. A lot of, like, comic book stuff.
So it's the novelty for it. It's a fresh set of eyes to look at it.
Yes,
that's
exactly
the way I always like to look at it, because, like, I come from, like, being immersed in media.
Yeah.
And people... And I think the problem sometimes on the internet especially is that nerds tend to be very like, no, you need to be immersed in this to comment on it. But it's like, no, sometimes it's good to have the point of view of somebody who's coming in to it from fresh eyes, because you still want to add people to something. You don't,
right.
Things can't exist by just having one core contingency of people that never grows into size.
So I've got a series called Tamara's Never Seen. So I watch movies that I should have grown up seeing and didn't, like Jurassic Park and like Back to the Future and stuff like that. And some of the comments, like you were saying, they're just hilarious. Like, I recently watched Home Alone 2, and someone was so...
Is that one the one with Trump?
Yes.
Yes, right, yeah. Right.
Trump is an actor in it.
Yes.
Well,
plays himself.
Loosely based, yeah.
And Tim Curry is also in that one.
Which is the saving grace of the film, I'll tell you. But
cheese
I
pizza.
Got this one comment that was saying that I was, like, a liar, and, like, they were furious that I had never seen Home Alone 2, and I think the rage is hilarious.
Yeah.
Like,
so you're just kind of, like, pissing
so
off
mad.
People on YouTube.
Yeah. It is. Well,
I'm getting
it's
angry
funny.
Right now. Like,
I just
what
watched,
you haven't seen that movie?
I just watched Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, and someone was like, "You're an idiot if you haven't seen this movie." And I think that's so funny, like, that you would measure, like,
what's interesting,
smarts.
Like, we have a certain expectation of each other of seeing things, and especially, like, you know. And this is the thing, is like, for every LGBT people, every generation, we have a certain cultural touchstone that we need to know. Like, for me, it was like, you know, John Waters, Pink Flamingos, or Female Trouble. Then it kind of became Showgirls.
Yeah.
And then Lindsay Lohan, Mean Girls, you know.
And I've talked about my thing with Mean Girls on here before, which is that, like, I was never really that into Mean Girls. I think it's a funny movie, but I don't think it's the best thing ever.
But the fans of it are really
into
it.
No, and on Tinder, I had people treat me like absolute crap.
Yeah.
Like Mean Girls.
Yeah.
They had a burn book.
Well, that's always been my problem with Mean Girls, is that I feel like a lot of the gay community took the wrong message from the movie, and they were like, the plastics are great. And it's like, that's not the point of the movie at all.
And there was a musical version of that, too.
Yeah, it's ongoing on tour, isn't it? I think so.
Yeah.
But I have a similar problem where I have a lot of, as we've discussed on the show, I have a lot of historical references that in my head are common knowledge. And it's like, oh, we all didn't know that about John Quincy Adams? That's just a thing I knew? Okay.
Yep.
just thought that was a really basic information thing we all knew. But no. So, yeah, I feel you on that.
Well, what's, like, the biggest misconception people have about, you know, John Quincy? Or Quakers or...
Elaborate on that, Cody.
I mean, you're like, I'm so glad you asked.
What's the biggest well, one of the big misconceptions
of really our founding fathers.
Now that you said it, yeah, I mean, I do.
I'm kind of curious about
I can talk about John Quincy. So John Quincy was an incredibly progressive president. So he was a one-term president who failed partly because he wasn't interesting. Like, he wasn't friendly. And if I've actually read his diary several times. If you read them, he's pretty kind of obviously has clinical depression. And the
What was he depressed about? Is it
medical depression. Like, he just all his diary reads like a live journal from the early aughties. Like, it's just like, everyone hates me. I want to kill myself. That's his diaries when he's president. And he wanted to initiate a bunch of different things as president, and Congress was like, that's, you're overreaching, because it was still early and there was still that huge libertarian movement. So he wanted to just do like public roads, hospitals and schools for like soldiers and stuff, and they were like, that's too much. Like, just public roads was like, you've gone too far, sir. So they basically drummed him out. They blocked everything he tried to do. He was able to still balance the budget, which then, as we've seen with Obama, where Trump's getting a lot of that, Jackson gets a lot of the credit for the budget being balanced because Adams did all the work and left, and then Jackson gets it when it comes in. Yeah.
There's a movement to remove Andrew Jackson from the $20 bill.
Yeah. The dude was a slave owner who beat and tortured his slaves, and also the whole Trail of Tears thing, and also only became president because he killed the most people in New Orleans, which is the most boring thing to do in New Orleans.
He's the closest we have to Hitler as U.S. presidents.
Ooh, yeah, probably
like
yeah.
The most bloodthirsty tyrant.
Sure, I'd put it more in Mussolini territory. Honestly, yeah, we did. The most fun tyrant we had was Andrew Johnson, who like tried to punch everybody that he looked at.
What a blast!
He was blackout drunk at Lincoln's inauguration as vice president.
My favorite president is LBJ, who kept showing his dick to people.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. No, I mean, that's a fun one.
It was a nice dick.
Yeah,
it's not like, you know, if someone's going to show you their dick.
Hopefully it's good.
Yeah. I want to see an ice dick. Yeah, like, put away that shriveled up pickle.
I will say one of the cool things about John Quincy Adams.
Bringing it back around.
Is when, so he left the White House and tried to retire to write a biography of his father, and then could not handle not being in service of the country. So he ran for Congress after he'd already been a senator before and an ambassador before and president before. And he was a congressman until he died on the floor of the House of Representatives voting against valorizing the Mexican-American War because he thought it was an improper war. And so when he was in the Congress, they had a gag order. It was before the Civil War. They had a gag order. You weren't allowed to mention slavery on the floor of the House. So he wrote a ton of pamphlets, had them mass produced, and then mentioned slavery on the floor, which initiated a vote. And he gave a filibuster against the vote for a week, where he would give a speech every day, and then he had the pamphlets that he'd pre-written delivered while he was giving the speech. So he basically created like social media before it existed so that he could discuss the evils of slavery when he wasn't allowed to, because he was a hardcore abolitionist. He was such an abolitionist that he called out other abolitionists for being too racist, like publicly. So yeah, he's a pretty cool dude. And then he died on the floor of the House, and then they created a congressional committee for his funeral. And on that committee was Abraham Lincoln, who was inspired by John Quincy Adams. And so it's a nice story.
You know so much about American history.
Well, he has John Quincy Adams merch.
I do have John Quincy Adams merch. I have a t-shirt. That's John Quincy Adams.
Yeah, I love it.
Do you cosplay as like any founding fathers or anything like that?
I don't really do a lot of cosplay. I did dress up one year for Halloween as Sexy Cicero, which is a Roman, the Roman rhetorician.
That's not quite, though, U.S. history.
That is not at all. Yeah. The closest I've gotten to U.S. history is I did do a history show where we had to dress up in character as a historical figure and do stand-up as them, and I did Voltaire, who is closely tied to American history from the revolutionary standpoint, and I did political insult comedy as Voltaire.
I feel like your stand-up comedy is very intellectual. In Los Angeles, that might not go.
So my favorite thing about Cody's stand-up is something that my boyfriend said, and it was something like, what was the quote? It was like, I love Cody's stand-up. I don't know what he's talking about, but I know it's funny.
I don't understand what he says, but I think it's hilarious. songs, basically.
Yeah.
Could like give pamphlets to the audience.
Oh, brochures.
I did consider one time creating a like a course packet and selling it after the show.
But
if you're
like
interested in anything I touched on tonight,
You did wrote a play called Cheers 1776.
It was Cheers 1773, and then the whole thing was called Star Spangled Sitcoms, and it was Cheers set during the Boston Tea Party, a 2-part episode, and then a spinoff that was John Adams' first Thanksgiving in the White House. It was 2 Frasier episodes, basically. Yep.
That was fantastic. And how did it go?
I mean, It went great.
This is something you can pick in LA now that you're living in Hollywood.
Yeah.
Surrounded by celebrities.
Yeah. No, the video.
This is something you pitch at those pitch parties that you all go to.
I'll have the video available soon.
At Brian Fuller's house.
Nope. I'll have the video of it available soon and for purchase. And I've got the script that I'm going to be selling as well. And yeah, I've actually been working on, I did in college, a parody adaptation of Plan 9 from Outer Space. And I was going to do a quick one-off of that around Halloween in LA as well. So I'm trying to work the angles.
Tamara, you just watched Plan 9 from Outer Space.
I did. Yeah, it was lovely.
That's the film Ed Wood Jr. sort of was notoriously known for.
Yeah, so
the cross-dressing director that later on was portrayed by Johnny Depp in a Tim Burton film.
Yeah. It was crazy, like just nuts. Also, I really want someone to make plans 1 through 8 because you get to see what plan 9 is.
Was it supposed to be sort of like a Bill Cosby Howard Part 6
idea? They mention in the movie that there have been plans 1 through 8 that just weren't successful.
Yeah.
And the ninth one is this.
And the ninth one is so bad.
I haven't actually, I'm not even, I know that I saw the movie and I was aware about, I saw, you know, Glenn or Glenda, but I never saw plan 9.
I haven't seen Glenn or Glenda. I really want to see that. But Plan 9
feels like a documentary more than horror film.
It looks
like that,
fascinating. But so Plan 9 is like aliens come to Earth and they like resurrect dead people and turn them into vampires, ?
Mm-hmm.
And
they're vampire zombies, yeah.
And then that's kind of it. They kind of just take over.
Are they horny? Are they murderous?
One of them is a little horny, I think.
Horny and murderous.
Vampire.
And Vampira is in the who later Elvira's character was based off of.
Yeah, and like sued Elvira.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
That was also Bela Lugosi's last movie.
Yeah.
And they actually used Ed Wood's barber for his back shots because he died during
it. Or chiropractor.
It was something.
It's one of them.
It's one of those like lore things, but it was definitely someone that Edward worked with. But yeah, he the weird thing though is that I did the parody version of it. So what I did was it's common rights. They didn't copyright the play or the movie. Sorry. So you can just use the script. So I took the script, I cut it down, edited it, and then I added some parody elements, and I did a lot of like 50s parody kind of. So I made one of the characters like a hardcore misogynist, and everyone laughed at all the lines I wrote, but I kept the one major misogyny line from Ed Wood, which is when one of the aliens keeps the female alien from like yelling at them, and he slaps her and he goes, women on my planet are for giving birth, not fighting men's battles.
Yeah.
And everyone got so mad at me for that line, and I'm like, the main character of my play like constantly was threatening to beat his wife and no one had a problem. The one actual line Ed Wood wrote, I got in trouble for.
What was the line?
It was that one. It was the women on my planet are made, it was the bad guy alien says like, women on my planet are made for making babies, not fighting men's battles, basically.
Yeah, it's really out of place. Like, it just happens, you're like, whoa,
And it was like, even the villain was saying it, but the hero could beat his wife, that's fine, but we've gone too far when the bad guy wants to do it.
Oh, yeah.
Well, you're kind of in a similar situation I am right now, only you have a boyfriend and you're moved to LA. Mm-hmm. So you have your boyfriend, but you feel like you're kind of socially isolated down there.
Oh yeah. Super.
And here I feel like it's kind of the opposite. Like I have all these people going, where's Mark? Where's Mark? And I'm like, I can't tell you.
Yeah.
It's a mystery. But,
yeah. He's driving me up the wall.
Yeah. Like, how are you holding up? You doing okay?
Well, Mark asked me to keep kind of a journal, you know, every day. And every day is like, all work and no play makes Fausto a dull boy.
I actually wrote that on a typewriter when I moved to LA.
You did?
But Cody, not Fausto. Oh,
that would have been really psycho.
Yeah.
That would have been a new level.
Or you can do it like this, all work and no play, something, something.
Dark side.
When you say, go nuts. It's like, don't mind if I do.
Don't mind if I do. I forgot about that.
And it is like, you know, I want to like write and so basically I'm sending him status updates on Facebook, so when he's back from this...
From the science.
Science, mm-hmm. he can read, you know, and find out, you know, when...
Whatever. If he still has eyes.
Right.
From the science.
I'm hoping what he's doing is, like, he's undergoing medical experiments and he comes back looking like Captain America.
I was thinking Captain America.
Wouldn't that be nice?
Well, but he's already big. I feel like he would reverse Captain America if you get like,
no.
Like he would go too much in the opposite direction and then go back around to tiny.
I'm a muscle chaser. It's like, you know, the thing about if you were dating like Captain America and you were in love with, you know, what he looked like before he transformed into mm-hmm. Captain America, imagine like, and now he's fighting criminals and putting himself in danger all the time. Because he could die. He dies.
I don't know if I want
his,
to.
His girlfriend spends the rest of her life going, you know, waiting for him. And then he sees her as an old woman.
And he doesn't do anything about it.
And I was like, at least finger me, you know?
God. Absolutely.
Well, she had somebody, didn't she? I don't know. I don't know if I'd want a day. I want a Captain America in the streets, but an Iron Man in the sheets. You know what I'm saying?
I do.
Yeah.
What do you mean by, like, so you want a ruthless billionaire who's kind of a selfish
No, I want, I want someone with, like, a real nice goatee.
Okay, all right. Well, if we're doing that, I want, like a Captain America in the streets, like a Black Panther in the sheets.
There you go.
That's what I'm looking for.
A Bruce Banner in the streets and a Hulk in the sheets.
You want someone with access to a lot of technology and an egalitarian society where we feed,
like you're
okay, then a Black
people.
Panther on the streets, a Black Widow in the sheets.
There you go.
Oh, yeah, because you identify as a bi. Mm-hmm. You're part or pan.
Yeah, yeah.
Poly.
Pan.
Vegan.
Vegan.
You're a people person.
A poly vegan.
A poly vegan.
So how does that, like, your sexuality manifest itself, or your sexual identity?
That sounds like an X-Men question.
Manifest itself into your work, so, you know.
Well, it's kind of weird.
Is that just like marketing? You're just like, yeah, I'll sleep with anybody if you watch my video.
Right. Everyone subscribe.
Subscribe.
Subscribe for a kiss.
Every 10 subscribers gets a coupon.
That is how it works. Yeah.
That's how bisexuality works, as far as I understand it. Yes.
But definitely. Like, does your audience know that? Like, do you like...
So I think a lot of YouTubers do like a big like coming out video, and I never did that. But I talk about it in random videos. And mm-hmm. But my movie reviews online are a very like male dominated space, so I think it just kind of is erased
a lot of
the time.
Do they know? Well, I mean, because you don't bring it up, you're like, as a bisexual woman.
That's not like a highlight of my videos,
right? You do it. She as a viewer of Tamara, as somebody's worked with her, she does it also sometimes in a casual way where she'll just mention like attractive women in movies in certain ways.
Right.
She'll discuss queer issues every once in a while and things like that. I think
so. You're like Wonder Woman. I'd eat her out. She's hot. I like her too.
That's a direct quote.
It was the same thing when I did comedy in Chicago, which was like as a queer person in Chicago doing comedy, I feel like there's always the Martin Luther King and the Malcolm X style of progression. And so you've got, so like in Chicago with comedy, you've got the shows that are like, we're the gay show. And then you've got shows where it's like, we book a lot of gay people and we don't make it explicitly the gay show though. And so you've got like the aggressive and more subversive style. So they're the people that do the videos where they're like, I'm bisexual and my channel is about bisexuality.
About that. Yeah.
And Tamara's doing the more, hey, I'm a YouTuber. These are the things I do. I happen to also be a bisexual. And I think both are incredibly valid. And I think both are necessary. They both work because of the other one. In the same way that Malcolm X worked because of MLK. MLK worked because of Malcolm X.
It's such a small part of my life. I feel that if I were to make it such a bigger deal, it would kind of belittle the ones who it is a part of their lives. Does that make sense? It's a lot of words I just
said. Also feel a little more forced and stuff.
You're
putting yourself into an arena that isn't the thing you want to be talking
about.
But it's
a tricky situation you find yourself in because you're in a committed relationship with your boyfriend.
Right.
So that's a heterosexual relationship, and so people tend to erase sexual experience and identity.
Yeah, I also think that's very true. I also think I am a not completely unattractive woman in like a male space online. And so I
feel
like... Wait,
are you saying you don't like the way you look?
No, I'm trying to say I'm super hot.
Yeah. That was the most British way I've ever heard someone call themselves hot. I would say that I'm not completely not unattractive.
I'm not completely. Yeah.
I'm not completely unattractive, I would say.
But like, and I think specifically it's like a movie reviewer. It's like... I'm like, I have a 90% male viewership.
Yeah.
And so that also kind of erases.
It is interesting because I do know about 45% of our audience is cisgendered women.
Mm.
And part of that is just
really,
part of that
that's
is
high.
Just,
I mean, that's gay. Isn't that gay porn levels?
Because I'm a girl at heart, you know, and
not quite a girl, not quite a woman,
quite a woman. And, you know, I people ask me about my gender identity and I'm like, you know, it's arbitrary or non-binary is kind of what young people are saying today. And part of me is like, it's arbitrary, but I usually occupy male spaces. But I, you know, go on vacation sometimes and dress up as a pretty lady.
Yeah.
People are like, you're not fooling anybody. But, you know, it's like, to me, I'm not narrow-minded when it comes to people, to my own gender identity or other people ascribing gender identity on me.
Right.
Other people are very like, I want to be in the driver's seat about the way you think about me.
Mm-hmm. For sure.
And I'm like, whatever you want to say about me, whatever you think I am, that's fine with me.
And I feel similarly, but I love watching people who, you know, feel strongly about it.
Own their shit.
That's the term that I wanted to use. Hell yeah. I love watching people own their shit, especially in YouTube videos. I think because I don't own that shit as strongly, I think it can easily be erased sometimes.
But your boyfriend's also a very successful YouTube blogger.
He is. He's a musician online, and we do very different things. And so I love, we live together.
We're a creative family.
Us and our two cats.
And you guys are like cats play the tambourine.
Dedicated full time to being online creative.
Yeah. We make videos full time.
And you guys negotiate quiet time in your house, so one of you guys can talk, blah, 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 you know.
Right.
I didn't see E.T. What a crazy movie. I don't know. I'm trying to.
Hey, watch Home Alone. Get in the bedroom, Rob. I have to film.
They actually did just build a huge sound booth in their apartment.
You did. I want to see your place.
It's awesome.
Do you like how we live? We're kind of like in the Apple Store meets Sanford and Son.
It's beautiful. Yeah. It's stunning. For the audience at home, that's dead on.
It's like, look at my old white piano that matches the iPod. Yeah, the original iPod.
Well, and the mannequin is
with
stunning.
Big boobs. Yeah.
I love her.
I hope the her giant breasts don't intimidate you. She's supposed to be friendly.
I feel kin with her, yeah.
The apartment's iPod meets Zoom. You know, you got
Zoom?
Like, Zoom. I meant to say
Zoom. Zoom.
Yeah. No,
I love that
too.
Show.
Yeah.
I grew up watching
that
show.
What was your hand sign for when you would be introduced? I'm Fausto, and then what would you do?
Dun, 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 dun. I didn't have that. You know, can you do this with your elbows?
That looks like the backpack kid, but for elbows.
Yes.
So, I don't know, for people who are not born in the 70s, there was a popular TV show called Zoom.
Like me. If you weren't born in the 70s like Cody Melcher.
The 1870s like Cody
Melcher.
And
they redid it in the early 90s again. And it was it was heartbreaking because it was this really edgy, weirdo show with child actors that were not trained as child actors.
I don't know what you guys are talking about.
PBS, public television, in the 1970s, at the height of Sesame Street and Lecter Company, they were really interested in creating content that was very egalitarian.
Yeah.
And very, you know, at that time, desegregation was a big thing, you know.
For sure.
And so they were interested in showing everyday kids getting along and being friends, right?
That's
and
cute.
Different backgrounds, racial identities, heritages.
That should be more of a thing.
So there was a little Asian girl who was a huge star, and she had this tai chi move that where she moved her elbows around, right? And that was her kind of signature move. And all the kids in my generation were obsessed with her.
Hell yeah!
And she was this star, you know. I don't even remember her name, but she was from Zoom. And we were all like, when I grow up, I want to be a kid from Zoom, you know, and it was.
I love that as a child, you wanted to grow up to become a child
I was too young
from
for
Zoom.
It.
Oh, okay. And, so you want to be a slightly older child.
They were preteens. And I was 6 to 8 years old.
For sure.
And they would do things like they would have these little segments. So it was kind of like Saturday Night Live meets Martha Stewart meets Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood.
Oh,
right?
All things I'm interested in. Yeah.
So it was sketch, a little bit of sketch comedy with, you know, stupid shit, folk songs.
Uh-huh.
And like, let's make clay.
You know, folk songs.
And let's make clay out of flour, salt, and, you know, water.
Okay. Yeah, for sure.
And
And
so cute. YouTube kind of occupies that space today where you see everyday people interacting
everyday
with each other.
Everyday people.
And I guess one thing that's really become extremely popular is taking glue and lye and mixing it together to make slime.
Weirdest trend.
Oh, yeah, I heard about the slime
trend.
And it's such a trend that, like, Walmart now sells buckets, like, you know, industrial-sized buckets of Elmer's glue.
Every once in a while, there'll be a new trend on YouTube that blows up, and it's, like, the biggest thing for months, and then we go back to our, like, normally scheduled things on YouTube, and then another trend will erupt, and it's crazy.
Yeah.
That's how I built one of, like, my biggest audience right now I built for my personal channel is doing wish hauls. Do you know what wish is? Oh, my God.
What's
it
a wish haul?
Oh, yeah.
Wish is this cheap website.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. It's kind of garbage.
It's trash stuff.
Yeah, can you elucidate what garbage and trash, though?
You know, like pencils that glow. And
right. And like
a fashion that doesn't look like the photo.
So
Adidas, Adidas shirts with an extra 3Ds. Like
tchotchkes.
You can get anything on there, though. I was recently
at
Target.
It's like Walmart on, but, you know, meets Spencer's Gifts.
But like way worse quality than that. So I was recently at Target trying to get a camera for like home security. And they were like, you know what? Just go buy it on Wish. I was like, what the hell? But I want it to work.
It's not going to work. It's all knockoff.
It's just going to be a drawing of a camera.
Yeah.
Chinese factory. You know, it's like, get an iPhone for $10.
So on YouTube, a lot of people were doing like, I bought this in expectation versus reality and opening everything. And like,
oh, that's
doing
a really good series.
Video.
Yeah.
It's fun. And I got like, oh my God, like 15,000 subscribers from just doing Wish videos.
Wow.
Yeah.
So you're really like working hard on that stuff.
Yeah, I'm opening really shitty things online.
Where did my life go wrong?
Oh, yeah.
The intrigue.
Right home to mom.
One of the spams that we get all the time is people like, I'm starting a merch site, and we're going to take catchphrases from your show and turn it into merch.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And, you know, we'll give you 5% of all the proceeds. And you're like, sucks my dick, asshole.
I get the funniest things, people trying to get me to, like, promote their stuff. Mm-hmm. I just got, I'm not going to say the name of the place, but it's a hilarious name, but they like do monthly curated snack boxes, and they're like, we'll send you a mini sized snack box if you spend an entire episode talking about our snack box.
Yeah.
I'm like, absolutely, that's a $6 snack box. I can buy snacks for myself.
One of those companies was the Men's Lifestyle boxes.
Yeah.
And some of our listeners actually work for those companies.
For sure.
And they're very nice people.
Yeah.
Very warm and sweet. But, you know, we do have to pay the bills.
Yeah.
Like,
right.
Every single download of this podcast is money that comes out of my pocket.
Yeah.
And so the more people that listen to it, which is great, but ultimately it's kind of, we're like running a restaurant and we're expecting people to tip us when they leave. And most people don't.
Yeah. Right.
And so, you know, as a consequence, like the listeners of this podcast support it because there's no ads running. And so if somebody wants us to talk about their product, we expect money.
Yeah.
Advertising. Right.
100%. Yeah.
They send us every now and then boxes of garbage. Like, we open it up, and it's like, you know, the Rugged Man's Lifestyle box.
Yeah.
Some bullshit like that. And you open it up, and it's like an acorn, a chapstick lip balm that smells
very rugged,
like
pine.
That is rugged.
And like a lip balm,
like
hand moisturizer, a piece of beef jerky, and just
definitely.
Like,
someone's nibbled on it.
And then I go onto the website, and I'm like, for $40 a month, you can get all this shit that you never buy. I'm like, this is not going to appeal to men. Like, men don't want garbage going in the mail in their lives. Of course, my next door neighbor, he's like, oh my God, guess what I just subscribed to? You know, Adventure Man Box of the Month Club. Oh, did you see this?
They're so popular.
It smells like pine. It's fantastic.
I subscribed to a Funko one time, which is a little figure thing. And I did a year of that because, like, I was just trying to, like, lighten my mood a little bit. So I thought, like, once a month I'll get a present, you know, that I don't know what it is.
Yeah.
But it was always just, like, little kind of garbagey stuff that I would never. Every once in a while I get something that I was like, I kind of like this. But most of the time it was just stuff stuff that I was like, yeah, I would never.
You're an OCD collector. Yeah. Like, you have a pinball.
I've been trying to
work.
You
have a red baby grand piano. What happened to that baby red grand
piano? It's in my apartment. They moved out with me.
You moved all the way to LA with a baby red crank.
I brought it back Elton home
where
John.
It belongs. I'm actually seeing Elton John live in January.
It used to belong to Elton piano. John.
No, it's just from his AIDS charity, but he signed it.
He's like, here you go, Cody. Have my piano. Where do you want me to sign on it? I have a Sharpie.
Oh my God, Elton John is here. It's a gold Sharpie. It's beautiful.
Okay, I'm done.
But yeah, like, it's all stuff that I would have never purchased on its own. Like, if
thing,
I saw it in a store.
You subscribe to these things and you're like, it'll be a fun present once a month, and then you realize that you should just be buying specific things that you actually want.
Right, you like set aside, like if you want to give yourself a present every month, set aside a certain amount of money that you would have spent on that, and then just like go to a shop and buy something.
And buy something specific.
But you have
these
weird, and I'm like, weird tastes. It's a polite way of putting it.
That's true, though, yeah.
Like, and I really love, like, I kind of want to go visit you in L.A., just so I can stay at your place and play with all your shit.
Yeah, I just got a new couch from Britain that's like bright colored patchwork. It's beautiful.
Well, the best thing is when Cody left, he like furnished our place.
Yeah, I gave him pretty much all of my stuff.
And it's wonderful.
Yeah, I mean, if it says anything about me, you guys were talking about all of your sponsorship deals. The only sponsorship deal we ever had on Tomfoolery was a tie company.
That does say a lot about
you. What's a tie? Like a necktie
company.
That seems appropriate for you.
Oh, it was incredibly appropriate for me, but it didn't really work out because we didn't get enough people buying them. They were kind of expensive ties.
You've been spending all your money these days buying Meghan and Harvey wedding merchandise.
Harry.
Harry.
Harvey. Prince Harvey.
Oh, Harry. I'm sorry. Write it down. Ginger. I just call him Prince Ginger. But
no, I like Prince Harvey. That's great.
I do too. It's like a very bad Harry. Man.
Prince Harvey Keitel.
But so I was reading on news websites that Meghan is bringing in $1.4 million in merchandise sales.
Was it million or billion?
Billion.
Wow.
That makes sense.
And that's all your
she's
money.
Also, she's American. that was all.
Cody.
That was $1.4 billion. That's $1.3 billion of my money. Yeah. I bought
a bunch of that shit.
I bought a tea towel because I like tea towels and it was really well designed.
It's beautiful.
They've got some really cute stuff. And Harry's kind of, I don't know, Harry's kind of cute. But
he's adorable.
I get it.
She's the first royal of color.
Yeah. And I'm a royal.
Ever.
I'm a royal gay. Like, I don't know. That's the area of the queer community that I fulfill. I'm a literary historical gay, and that's it. So
she deleted her social media.
That makes sense.
The day the engagement was announced.
Yeah, all that checks out.
Everyone should do that.
I'm sure, everyone should just delete their social media now.
Part of me is just like, I use it as a way of getting touch with people, you know?
It's like, sure. I mean, yeah, I have it. That's the only reason I have it. And also, my Twitter is for career stuff, but everything else is just because everybody else makes me.
Yeah.
But
Facebook? Let's get rid of Facebook. Can we all agree?
Oh,
I was trying to learn about you, and I was like, well, this lady doesn't post on Facebook in April.
I hate Facebook.
So you were like all over all the other social media, but your Facebook and your... Why you hate
Facebook,
it on Facebook?
It just bums me out, because I think that's the only social media that also like has...
Your grandma.
Like family, and like old friends from high school.
You're hiding from the law, aren't you?
Oh, I am, yes.
In plain sight.
This doesn't get posted publicly, right?
Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt fan. It's like, they're going to put you back in the basement.
I went to high school in like a very like conservative town. And like, so I still have all of that kind of thing happening on my Facebook. So mostly Instagram and Twitter. Oh God, there's enough of it. Everybody.
That's why you and Cody kind of get along, because Cody's families are all right wingers.
For sure.
They're all like, Trump is making America great again. You're like,
it's sad to see that coming from like anyone that you know. So yeah, I hate Facebook. Oh,
whereas all my family are like, in Puerto Rico, the light's still not on.
Yeah.
That's pretty much like on the status update. That's an issue.
That too.
It's like, they just kind of gave up on posting on social media. It's what happened with a lot of family members in Puerto Rico.
Yeah. I'm sure.
Or they're just like, you know, and recently there was like the police started like gassing all these protesters and it's,
oh man.
And like water is a huge thing. Like they have no water.
Yeah. Just like, but at least we have the beach and we have actual waterfalls that we can collect water from. And if you live in the mountains, you know?
Yeah.
Which I grew up like going to waterfalls, and I still have dreams where I'm like walking the forest and underneath a waterfall, just like, you know,
that's
Fern Gully.
Lovely.
Yeah, yeah. I was like, wow,
that's
okay.
Like my dreams.
Fantastic.
Very cinematic.
I just have like stress dreams about dog walking, so that's really nice.
All of my dreams lately have just been me dating celebrities I have crushes on and them treating me horribly.
Oh, no.
That's literally been like the last like 3 weeks of all of my dreams.
Tell me who.
One of them, one night was Connor Franta, one night was Timothée Chalamet, one night was.
Oh, yes.
Why are you in love with Timothée Chalamet?
I have a minor crush. Like, I think my subconscious ran out of people I have actual crushes on. One of them was Nick Jonas.
Definitely, right? Tom Holland.
Yes, oh, definitely. No, Tom Holland, I've had three with.
Yeah. Meeting kids with cancer.
I know, I love him so much.
Dressed up as Spider-Man.
Tom Holland's so great.
He's and so I guess he's like a gymnast, so he can actually do those cartwheels
also,
like Spider-Man.
I think he did ballet as well. Yeah. I saw a video the other day where he did, like, he was doing full degetes and stuff. Yeah.
Yeah.
But he doesn't change his accent, so he's like British Spider-Man.
Yeah.
He's like, hello, this is Spider-Man.
Because I think he's doing it for British children, and so he's like, here's the Spider-Man you've always wanted. Chimney sweep Spider-Man.
Nurse. You know, like, the kids are feeling like shit, but you can see how happy.
They love him.
They're like, they must be like, I'm hallucinating this, you know.
For sure. They wake up the next day, like, did that happen?
If he really wanted to cheer up the children, he would just do his Rihanna umbrella routine.
That's That
would have cheered me up as a sick child.
Honey, it's going to
cheer me up any day.
Yes. Death drops before you die.
Death drops. Tom, yes, Tom.
He's an amazing performer.
He is stunning.
Yeah. I've been really enjoying seeing him kind of, you know, and then he pulls his mask off. Because you think it's just some actor, you know?
Yeah, right.
And it is Tom Holland, and you're like, oh, wow. I'm sorry you died in that last movie.
I found,
Spoiler alert. He'll be
back. I found a...
Yeah, he's not going anywhere.
I found a photo the other day where you can see he's clearly wearing a thong under his Spider-Man costume.
Hot.
Mm-hmm. That is hot.
Yeah.
Oh, and that photo of his ass.
Yeah, I just have a picture of his butt.
And everyone's like, Tom Holland's ass is amazing. It's like, even the women are like, I don't have an ass that's good. You know?
Yeah.
No. I was like, well, if you did squats, girl.
Yeah.
True story.
The like weight Tom is there. Start lifting. Yeah, Tom Holland. Dude, what do you think is going to happen in the Infinity War? Because you just...
I also
have inside information about it.
You do?
Well, and like, see with like what the comics have told us, some actual things. But yeah. I think a lot of the like core group is going to like give up their seats for the new people they're going to bring back. People who disintegrated, and I think Iron Man is going to like... give his life for them, and like Captain America probably too.
Yeah, because both of those actors are like, I'm done.
Mm-hmm. Well, and like
this
their contracts
the
are up.
Right.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. I mean,
you have to kill them off.
You have to stop eventually. You can't just keep doing something
for
until you're
years.
Dead, literally.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or it could be like senior citizen Captain America.
Yeah.
I was like, I thought you were supposed to age.
They have to retire it eventually, so you might as well go out on top with like a big bang. You know what
I mean?
Yeah,
doing
but
something
Chris
selfless.
Evans still, I mean, like,
oh, yeah, no,
I
yeah.
would, you know, yeah. Tom Holland, who?
I mean, I'm still firmly in the Tom Holland camp, but it is the age of the twink, so that's where I stand firmly.
Thanks, New York Times.
I've been dating all of them, so I was already deep undercover in the age of the twink, dating every single one of them to find out what's going on.
Thank
so
you for
that's
your
a
work.
Marketing
they scooped
thing.
Me. They scooped me.
That's a marketing bullshit, because it's like, they're saying, the New York Times put out this article saying that, like, straight men are now calling themselves twinks, and I'm like, I don't know any straight men who are using gay porn terms to describe themselves.
I know a couple who are just like... Oh, like, but they're all bears. Like, they're all, like, hairy or just regular straight dudes who have been told that they would be a bear if they were gay. But none of the twinky straight guys I know refer to themselves as twinks or have ever inquired about it.
No.
It's all, like, it's all the, like, out-of-shape schlubby or Chicago dudes I know that are like, what would I be if I was gay?
I'd
be a bear.
I have heard that.
Yeah, and
that's
it's all
true.
The ones that, are like, have a lot of gay friends and go to gay clubs, and they just get really curious about, like, the culture because they don't know anything about it.
Yeah.
So, but yeah. But no, yeah, no one's... It's dumb.
But hold on. People want to know what's going to happen when the second the Infinity War. So now Thanos is, in the spoiler alert, has snapped his fingers.
Yes.
Half of the... Only the cast members that can be removed have disappeared.
I mean, I think most everyone is definitely coming back. Like, even the people... Like Gamora, who didn't disintegrate, I think she's going to come back.
I mean, I have, like, some confirmed rumors, if you want those.
Yeah, let's hear it.
At the very end of the movie, when Thanos is with Gamora, if you notice the background, it's all purple because they're inside the Soul Gem.
Right.
And so what the theory is that everyone that went when he snapped is in the Soul Gem. So those people can all come back. But like Loki's still going to be dead. Vision's probably still actually dead. People who died outside of that. But anybody in the Soul Gem, because the thing is that it's going to be fixed by that. People have been thinking it's going to be the Time Stone, but it's not. It's the Soul Stone.
Yeah.
And then also the other thing was that
Don't lose that Soul Stone.
The reason why Doctor Strange gave him the Time Stone is because when he looked at all of the possibilities,
correct,
the only one that worked needed Tony Stark to still be alive.
Yeah, yeah.
And so that's why it's going to be really crucial that he is. But yeah, also
this was the only way to do
it. If you just look at the movie slates coming out, Black Panther and Spider-Man have to come back. Also, right. Disney would not have spent that much money to get Spider-Man to kill him immediately.
Well, these are all going to be sort of prequels, the next coming movies. They're not going to take place before
I think
Infinity
the next Black
War.
Panther doesn't.
Without Black Panther?
No,
Black
it comes out after. The slate is, there's a new Ant-Man, and then there's going to be the Captain Marvel movie, and then just like how they did Black Panther and then Infinity War, it's going to be Captain Marvel a month later, the next Avengers, where everything gets fixed.
Well, I'm very excited for Ant-Man and the Wasp to come out, because that takes place like a little bit before Infinity War. So they're thinking that the end screen credits clip is going to be like, maybe one of them like disintegrates, because it happens like during Infinity War.
But it's supposed to be kind of crucial for the whole Infinity War thing still.
Right, right. So I'm very excited to see how that turns.
And like, I'm super excited for Captain Marvel.
Captain Marvel very much building on the success of Wonder Woman as this sort of feminist anthem of a film.
I love her as an actress. I think she's going to do great.
The actress who's playing
Brie Larson.
Brie Larson.
Yeah, I think she's wonderful, and I think she's going to fucking just rock it. Oh, I'm so excited. And I loved Wonder Woman.
We haven't seen it. You haven't seen anything about this. You don't know any. It might suck.
I've seen a little bit of it, but I mean,
we're just basing this on the fact that we like all the other movies.
But what Marvel movie has sucked in recent history?
Exactly.
The first,
Thor, second Thor was terrible.
But it's been good, and especially considering how crucial it is, they're going to put their A team on that movie.
No way it's not
going to
be good,
They're putting a lot of thought into it, because, you know, a lot of people had the problem with the Wonder Woman is that it was kind of like a pro-war
film.
Right.
Even though it's critical of the war.
And it took place in that time.
Right. Yeah. Well, and I had a problem with Wonder Woman in that I don't think it did enough of a feminist message, because it wasn't about women are strong. It was about Wonder Woman specifically as strong, which is still a very important message. But there were a lot of opportunities to, have her talking to other women more. The No Man's Land thing could have had women that were in the trenches, as nurses and stuff, helping out or something. There were a lot of more opportunities. Whereas we've discussed this on Tamara's channel, whereas Cars 3 that came out around the same time, I felt did a way better job of women just talking to other women. They were all cars, they were women cars that would actually interact with other women, and that was a much stronger to me feminist message than
Wonder Woman.
Oh, that's
the rule that if there's two women in film, what is that?
Oh my god, why am I forgetting the name of it?
Yeah. Cody, tell us about feminism in film.
I studied media studies in college.
It's a rule that if two women are talking to each other.
It's a name. I can't remember the name right now.
But what does the rule imply?
In order for it to be a true feminist film, it's a bare minimum rule. You're supposed to do better than this, but it needs to have two women having a conversation with each other that is not about a man.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, which they did.
Or a male car.
Wonder Woman did that.
No, yeah, yeah. But I think Cars 3 did a better job of integrating women's stories.
You're right. It definitely did.
Like when, spoilers for Cars 3, when the main character
everyone plug your ears.
Yeah, I'm not going to be watching that.
When the main character car wins the race, they immediately cut to other women cars' reactions instead of cutting to how do the men feel about this. They cut to how do the women feel about this win.
And you're right about all of this. And I totally agree.
And I don't mean this to shit on Wonder Woman.
No, I just feel like
they shouldn't have to compare to each other.
I wish that Wonder Woman could just be like, I felt like it did a good enough job being, a feminist stance, but I also wish it just could be like a Wonder Woman film. Like, it doesn't have to be like a feminist film. And I think it does really well showcasing women. I mean, especially Wonder Woman, obviously, but, and I do wish that there had been more of that when you brought it up, but like after seeing it, I was just like, oh, hell yeah, Wonder Woman. That was great.
Sure. It could just be a fun movie. Which it should be, and that's sad that we live in we still live in a time where
we have to scrutinize
gay characters, women, stuff still need to have, because we don't have,
especially
basics
with gay characters.
Well, Tamara, I mean, you certainly have like a Linda Carter look to you.
Thank you.
Know.
Just not the to, nicest
to
thing.
Make your head explode.
Tamara's like, that's all I've ever wanted. I'm done now. Thank you. Click on the YouTube channel.
You have some really cute pictures of yourself as Wonder Woman.
Thank you. Yeah. So I cosplay as Wonder Woman. And I do that because...
And you spend millions of dollars on those.
Someone made that for me, actually.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, the props guy for the channel I work for.
You're going to send me pictures of those so I can post it on the site.
Absolutely. Yeah. I'll send my best ones.
Yeah.
On my skinny days.
Where you're like... You're like licking an ice cream cone seductively.
A popsicle.
I was like, I don't remember Wonder Woman eating ice cream.
She does actually eat ice cream.
She does.
Yeah.
But she doesn't go like, I'm going to be blowjobs with this ice cream. Then she eats a corn on the top. Then a hot dog.
I love on my skinny day. Here's Wonder Woman standing between two boulders.
Well, okay. So we did Wonder Woman for Batman versus Superman on the channel. Mm-hmm. And then we just did Wonder Woman for the movie Wonder Woman.
Yeah.
And I was way skinnier for Batman v Superman. So I'll be sending you those.
Oh, okay. What, did you like go on a training regimen for?
No, I just ate a lot more in between those films.
You know, Stan's Donuts is my kryptonite now.
Oh, God, yeah.
Speaking of DC.
Not to bring it down, but it's like, so I came down with skin cancer, a pretty nasty case on my shoulder.
Oh, and no, are you all right?
Yeah, we'll know in a couple of weeks. So I'm supposed to go see the doctor and... I'm in the middle of like all these other projects. I'm like, yeah, cancer. Yeah.
Whatever.
So they basically chopped off my part of my shoulder.
Yeah.
And the day that, you know, we went for the surgery afterwards, Mark's like, hey, let's go get some donuts. And I'm like, cancer donuts? That's perfect. And of course, my family like, you know, that sugar, the cancer's going to love the sugar.
Oh, what a terrible thing to say.
Shut the fuck up.
No.
I don't think that's how cancer works.
So, Mark, it does. Cancer does like sugar.
Really?
It feeds
everyone
well,
likes sugar.
Everybody likes sugar.
Is cancer, parallax? Like, it sounds like a weird like alien entity at that point.
It does. Yeah, I didn't know that.
So you know, they cut basically like I call it the vagina of cancer because it looks like a vagina with a hole in the middle of it. Not to
like a regular vagina.
That's not rude. That's just science.
You know, an oval shape, right?
I mean, I did grow up in Texas. I need you to explain a vagina more to me.
And the doctor who did the procedure, she was in her third trimester.
Oh, my God.
She was huge. Her belly was, like, ready to pop out.
Wow.
And to the point, like, her belly's pressing up against my side of my body as she's, like, doing the surgery.
Wow.
And so I'm, like, completely, you know, I'm getting goofy. And I'm kind of a rebel and, you know, hard right. And I just said to her, I was like, can I eat the flesh you're cutting off of me, kind of like a placenta, you know, to build up my strength after surgery? And she just looked at me like,
like,
get out of you here,
monster.
You cannibal.
You monster.
I was like, if you eat your cancer, I have to kick you out of here.
Not around my unborn child.
And I was just like, look, I'm just kidding, you know, stuff, but can we, like, film it?
I'm trying to lighten the mood here.
Yeah, you know, because she's, like, she's stitching me up and stuff like that, and I'm just kind of, like, wondering. She's like, you don't want to look at this. I was like, I kind of want to film it. I want to put this on
it's
YouTube.
It's your appointment.
It's my body, my rules, honey.
Absolutely.
If you eat your own skin, are you a cannibal? Because then wouldn't we all technically be cannibals? I'm sure we've all eaten a little bit of our own skin at some point.
So legally they can't because they have to run a lot of tests.
No, I understand why they wouldn't give you the cancer.
On that flesh.
I'm not arguing. I'm not trying to create a legal precedent here for eating your own
just
cancer.
The question.
They're liable.
Yeah, of course.
So then the bill came in, and I was just like looking at the bill, and I was like going, I could have gotten like plastic surgery. I could have gotten a facelift.
Yeah.
You know,
but
Botox.
That wouldn't have helped the cancer.
Yeah, but I fucking look
would
awesome.
Help myself
you would have gone out strong.
I got gotten like, you know, because like a lot of the drag queens on RuPaul's Drag Race, where they're, you know, a lot of them make a lot of money
for sure
the first year, right? And inevitably, I call it like Drag Race lips.
Okay.
Every time.
They all look like they
they get the big old
lip plumping, fish lips, their cheeks, you know. And I'm like, the whole point of dressing up in drag is so you transform into this beautiful woman.
Yeah.
Not that every day you look like
a woman.
Bass.
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
Absolutely.
Except for me, because I cosplay as a bass every day.
There is someone who cosplays as a sexy bass.
That's nice. Mm-hmm. Did they do the Billy Bass where they sing songs?
No.
Oh.
No.
Well, you work with C2E2 with the Comic Book Expo here.
I don't work with them, but I do attend it.
You do stuff for them. Okay. But you see a lot of outrageous people at those things. And
so somebody, speaking of Infinity War, at C2E2, someone went as the gauntlet.
They dressed up as the flame.
A giant gold glove. Yeah.
And where the face was one of the stones? Or
I never saw it. I don't know how. Somebody was like guiding them around. So I don't think they had eye holes. It was so
funny.
That's
a meta. Actually snapped his fingers and suddenly half of the people in the line disappeared.
Oh, damn. They should have done that.
That would have been great if the person guiding them around, it was just all purple.
Yeah.
And, like, it was cosplaying Thanos, and then they were just...
And, like, I've always... I think it'd be a hilarious cosplay to do, like, you're in, like, a nude bodysuit, and, like, you paint on half of your body, and then do, like, the blocky kind of art to look like half of you is disintegrated.
Oh, yeah.
They should have done that. That's
yeah.
Really I'm really... My favorite thing about comic book culture is the gay erotica.
Everyone's favorite,
right? Because the only way place to find this shit is on Tumblr, because they, like, if you post, you know, Thor having sex with, like, you know, the Hulk and their dicks pressing up against each other on Facebook, censored,
definitely,
your account's suspended. Twitter, you can't really sort it, but on Tumblr, you can really find that shit. And it's like, and
you
Thanos
really
with his purple ass.
I saw that. Yeah.
I have seen that for
you
sure.
You know what I'm talking about,
the
right?
It's funny Thanos. With doing, so I do these movie reviews, and I put screenshots from certain types of the parts of the movie, and I think you know where this is going. So every film I do, I'm doing like, whatever, Cars, or I'm doing like, you know, Home Alone, and there's always erotic porn parodies of all of these films, and I always want to I wish I could post them, but I can't. Well, we found Cars.
We should blur
Cars
them.
Porn.
Cars porn.
We found Cars porn where the cars were fucking.
Well, because the cars had dicks or something, and then
there's
like in the trunk.
Yeah.
There's a thing called dragons fucking cars.
That is a thing. Yes, I was very intricately familiar with that. I don't know. Now you said Hulk and Thor fucking, and so now I'm just thinking: is Hulk mighty enough to hold Thor's dick? And that's what I'm trying to figure out.
Well,
like,
usually
like a Mjolnir situation where
the thing, the thing from Fantastic Four and Hulk are
that
the
makes,
lovers.
That makes sense. I feel like Ben Grimm would be
Man
a very gentle lover.
I agree.
Yeah.
And then the Iron Man, for some reason, he's always bottoming for the Hulk.
Sure.
And then there's I mean, I'm talking about like slash fiction where they pair off the characters.
Well, there's always like
there's
Super
Iron Man
Girl
and Spider-Man.
And Wonder Woman. And then Poison Ivy and Harley have like,
oh, well, that's
an actual
canon
thing.
I would love to see Thor and Tom Holland Spider-Man. And I would also love to see Thor and Drax. I feel like Thor and Drax would be a great
Thor
couple.
And Drax would be lovely.
They'd be an adorably
well,
sweet
did
couple.
Did you see that Tom Holland clip of him saying who he would fuck, marry, and kill?
Yeah.
Like
so
immediately.
Tom Holland, they did a red carpet thing where they asked people from the Avengers Infinity War on the red carpet, fuck, marry, kill the three Chris's, Chris Pratt, Chris Evans, and Chris Hemsworth, who are respectively Star-Lord, Captain America, and Thor. And they were asking dudes pretty much only.
Yeah.
And everyone was being very straight man coy. You know, some of them being a little more playful, some of them being very concerned about looking gay.
Yeah.
Typical. But Tom Holland, they asked him, and he immediately just rattled it off.
Yeah.
And they were like, wow, that was pretty quick. And he was like, I guess it was. And he's like, oh, yeah, I guess it was. And then, like, giggled. And it was like, oh, poor Tom Holland. He's been sitting around thinking about this
for
a while.
Who did he want to marry?
Who?
I'm curious. I want to know.
Oh, his was kill Chris. I remember it was kill Chris Evans. And he said, sorry, Chris.
Why?
It was
Mary.
It was Mary Hemsworth and fuck Pratt.
Yeah.
No, it was fuck Hemsworth, Mary Pratt. That's what it was. Because I think we had the same one.
I don't think Chris Pratt would be a good husband.
I don't think so either.
Yeah. I don't think he's the kind of one night stand kind of he's a friend. You know?
I think I would marry in like after thinking about it a long
partner,
time.
Long
I think I would marry Evans. Mm-hmm. I think I would fuck Pratt.
Captain America is he's somebody who really cares about people. And
Chris
like,
Evans is a very sweet dude.
And I love his Twitter account.
Right.
Yeah.
No, I'm going off his Twitter account as well.
Of course.
Yeah. So I would marry Chris Evans. And then it's kind of a toss up on who I'd fuck between Pratt and Hemsworth. I think it would depend on the day because I'm attracted to them in different ways.
Definitely.
But I think I'd lean more towards Pratt.
And I would kill myself after having sex with them because it'll never happen.
but your poor husband, Chris Evans, is waiting at home for you.
Oh, all right. I'm not dying.
That's always my problem with fuck, marry, kills. It's like, wait, so does that mean I have
question.
To... Well, it's also like, does that mean I have to marry that person and never fuck them? Like, am I removing fucking off the table?
Because
I'm gonna fuck twice then.
Yeah,
so really, fuck long-term, fuck short-term kill.
Yes.
That should be the game. The
Whenever
game is fuck long-term,
see,
fuck short-term kill.
Any website, any blogger ask fuck, marry, or kill questions, I'm always like, ugh.
killed me.
I don't want to kill any of them. It's garbage.
It's like, it's just, unless it's Tom Holland answering them. Like, then that's kind of interesting because there's like, you're putting this really sophisticated, charming,
sexy man.
Let's get more adjectives about Tom Holland.
In a really stupid, dumb,
And he's so adorable and sweet as a person that he's just like, I'll roll with any. Like, such a roll with anything kind of guy that it's fun to watch.
And that's why I like watch RuPaul's Drag Race, is just to see the celebrity judges squirm.
Right. Well, and I mean, and also, and that's also a big part
of the contest. The some of that stuff is really stupid. And then you see, you have these people who are like, you know, super established artists like John Waters or the B-52s, and they're like clapping along to some, you know, drag queen lip syncing their song and trying to enjoy it, you know, and, you know, so part of them is like secretly going, where did my life go wrong?
What am I doing? What are we doing here?
Hello, darkness, my old friend situations. Yeah,
absolutely.
Well, and like, and also like getting people with like personalities and putting them in weird situations is, I think, what YouTube's built a lot off of as well.
Oh, for sure.
Is, that's kind of how YouTube celebrities are created, is personality people doing weird stuff and being put in awkward situations.
Yeah, if you find a dead body in a Japanese forest, don't film that.
God. Oh my God, what an idiot. He's hot, stupid, stupid idiot.
I would fuck Mary and kill him, I'll tell you
I would kill him.
Just kill him.
He's hot. I actually found out about him through the Disney Channel. He was like a Disney Channel regular.
Like his eyes.
Yeah.
And people are like, the weirdest thing is because people are like, hey, Fouster, you create internet content. And I imagine this was the same thing for you. Like, everybody was asking you for your opinion on the guy.
For sure.
And I'm like, I don't even know who this guy is, you know? I just saw him on the Disney Channel, masturbated a couple of photos. Otherwise, I don't know.
And then you let it go.
But it was really nothing. It was a non-argument, right? It's like, you see something horrible, put the camera down, call the police, you know?
He specifically went into that forest that is like a well-known thing. He knew what he was getting into. Yeah. So, like, that was 100% on him.
Could you go to the island of rabbits? There's a Japanese bunny island.
Adorable. Where
it's full of rabbits. But
there's
no,
also
you
one in LA at the Playboy Mansion.
To the forest where there's dead bodies instead. That says something about you as a person.
And like, he knew what he was doing.
His entire life says a lot about him as a person. Yeah. He's a garbage human being.
His career is like over because of it.
Good.
Yeah.
You know.
Good, I say. Fuck Mary, kill his career.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'm not a fan of him.
But that's the thing. It's like, this past year, you know, YouTube, a lot of advertisers have sort of looked at the platform and said, you know, this is too progressive.
Yeah.
We don't like putting our name and brand next to LGBT content.
Right.
And so a lot of people like us, we saw our ad revenues decimated.
Well, yeah. And I follow a lot of like trans creators who aren't getting just their stuff demonetized left and right.
I had a video that was like about queer stuff that got flagged back when I had an actual partnership before they cut those off as well.
But if there's a fire sale on LGBT content, then can we like advertise? You know what I'm saying? Like,
get a discount rate.
Yeah, if you're going to lower the rate, let me advertise. I'll spend some money on that and put, you know, Feast of Fun Hunty t-shirts.
Hell yeah.
You know, remind folks, we have fabulous merchandise for sale on our site, feastoffun.com/store, where you can find great moments in our show turn into merchandise. And you can wear Feast of Fun, not just listen to it.
Choose three shirts that you would fuck, marry, and kill.
Yeah. and they're all made by people in the United States with their hands, mostly us. You know, I have to say that as a disclaimer, because some of that stuff is like dye sublimation, cut and sew.
Right.
And so I'm like, I'm not the one. You know.
I hand knit all of my merch.
Yeah.
Yeah, same.
You were in the factory making the t-shirts before you sell them.
I hand draw all of my stickers that I sell.
Yeah.
Tamara Lynn Chambers, it's a pleasure having you here.
This was a blast.
Wonder Woman good looks.
My skinny princess.
Man, you've been called Linda Carter, Wonder Woman good looks.
Yeah, I'll come back every day for this.
This is an ego boost for you.
And Cody Melcher, you're a nice guy. Wait, no.
Cody Melcher, you're a good guy.
Cody Melcher, you could lose a few.
You're a good guy. Not a great guy, just a good guy.
Thank you. I'll take it.
A great man.
I'm a non-fedora wearing good guy.
A great man with a great podcast.
That's all you can hope for, really.
With pink hair.
The best you can hope for is to be a good guy.
The pink hair says, help me.
It's honestly so beautiful.
I love it. I love that kind of stuff.
Fuck, marry, kill me.
Do you maintain the pink pretty often? Like,
no, I did this like over a month ago.
Oh, that's really good.
That's unbelievable.
So that's new technology, because those bright colors usually wash out in a couple
weeks. It's new dye, and then the guy who did it, he works for a queer salon, actually, shout out, and for LA. He works at a place called Folklore Salon, which is a queer specific salon, and he has like an art theory degree, and so he uses a different color palette than like all the other people who dye
stuff.
What
the fuck does that even mean?
He bases, because you have to base, you know, like you know how things
it's
work
pink.
Off of, well, no, but you know how things work off of like red, green, and blue. Well, you have to mix colors. So you have like the red, blue, and yellow is usually the basic. So he's actually working off a completely different basic. And
so he's using Pantone.
Yeah, but I think basically he explained it to me, and I don't have my theory degree, so I didn't understand it. But
I mean, my hair is supposed to be bright blue, and it's like swamp green. I'm very jealous.
You're very the Shape of Water right now.
Uh-huh. Yeah, you got some Swamp Thing beauty going on there.
I got a hard-boiled egg for you, honey.
Oh, my God.
Be hungry.
Delish.
just don't claw it out of my hand. Just gently pull it out of my hand.
I mean, if we're going to be very candid here, I would fuck that monster.
You would?
Yeah, I would also.
He will turn you into one of those Swamp Things, though.
That's fine.
Like, spoiler alert.
That's all right.
He stuck his dick in her, and then she could breathe underwater.
I'm here for it.
I can barely breathe up here. Might as well breathe underwater. You know what I'm saying? You're like,
oh, good. My asthma's finally cured. Guys, thank you so much for listening. And thanks, Cody Melcher and Tamara Lynn Chambers.
Thank you.
Bye, everyone.
Bye.